your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode, Thursday's episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Already almost at the end of the week. Really loving the way that these weeks are flying by. Sooner than you know it, we'll be talking about training camp and actually talking about some football activities. But these weeks are flying by and I'm enjoying them each and every day. And hopefully you're enjoying the show each and every day. Again, Locked On Raiders podcast on this Thursday, May 28th. 2020, damn near the end of the month. And of course, today's show is being brought to you by Built Bar. I don't know if you've got yours yet, I've tried yours yet. I got my box of 18 of three different flavors. Told you about it on yesterday's show, but coconut almond, toffee almond, and salted caramel chocolate are the three flavors that I got, and they have a lot more than just that. And I'll tell you about them at the end of segment number one. Coming up on today's show, I got your calls and your texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That comes up in segment number three, as it always does, or most of the time it does. I can't say always, because every once in a while, you know, it really doesn't happen. But that's coming up today in segment number three. Segment number two, I'm going to kind of take a little twist, or not a twist, kind of take a turn on what I've been talking about. I've been talking about a lot of things on the field and expectations for the team. And just like on Wednesday's show, I talked about, you know, the games I think that they could win and how many I think they could win, the floor and the ceiling. What I'm going to talk about in segment number two today is just about the team, just about the Raiders and the Las Vegas Raiders, to be exact. I mean, talking about a new era, the Raiders have been the Oakland Raiders. They had a time period where they were the Los Angeles Raiders. They had a time period where they were the Oakland Raiders again, and now they're about to get into this new adventure in Las Vegas. They're going to be the Las Vegas Raiders, or they are the Las Vegas Raiders, but they're about to start a new chapter in Las Vegas. And I'll tell you, the only reason that I'm going to talk about this is there's so many pictures and so much stuff out there about the stadium and things that are going on in Henderson with the facilities and just all the opportunity that this team has and is going to have in the future for the long haul. You start to see grass go down on the track. You start to see turf go down inside the stadium, and you realize that this thing is real. So I'm just going to talk about the opportunity that the Raiders have in segment number two, and actually really talk about just the direction that this team is going and why I'm so pumped up. So segment number two today is probably going to sound more like a fan talking than, you know, a guy who's being as professional as possible and, you know, a guy that you would hear on the radio on the daily. I'm probably just going to fan out a little bit in segment number two. So forgive me if that's not your style. Forgive me if it's a little different than what you normally hear. But I'll tell you right now, man, and this will be the last I talk about it, I'm really, really proud of this team. Really proud of the team and the direction that they're going. So I'll talk about that in greater length in segment number two. Here in segment number one, I'm going to give you the news and the notes of the day. Before I do that, though, I definitely appreciate everyone who checked me out on the latest episode of Locked On NFL Draft. That's something I talked about on Wednesday. I was actually hit up on Twitter by G Saucedo on Twitter at PopMar7 after hearing me on the Silver and Black Today podcast. Did an interview with undrafted free agent Javon White, and that's actually the second time I've talked to him. He's a lot of fun. He heard me on that, and then he turned around and heard me on the Locked On NFL Draft and, of course, on the Locked On Raiders podcast, and he said, and I quote, "What is happening? How many at your boy Q254 are you on now?" Now listening to him at Locked On NFL Draft, taking over the podcast verse. So I just thought that that was funny because, yeah, I was on about three different podcasts on Wednesday, and that's just because, like I told him, the grind doesn't stop. You know what I mean? I very rarely ever turn down an opportunity to work. I mean, you don't know when your next opportunity is coming up. You don't know what your next opportunity is going to be. And as long as somebody wants to hear my voice or hear my opinion, I'm going to give it to them. because there's going to come a time when someone's going to say, you know what, I really don't want to hear that dude. Or, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't care to hear what he has to say, you know, and that's not the case right now, luckily for myself. But, you know, there could come a time where that's the case. And so I'm going to go ahead and take advantage, and I'm going to be on anything that I'm invited on. As long as I can squeeze it into my schedule, I'm definitely going to make that happen. So I appreciate everyone who reached out and you know, say good stuff. And, you know, of course, Javon White, again, that's the second time that I've had a chance to talk to him. He's a real good dude, man, and very excited about his opportunity that he has, even as an undrafted free agent, a guy that I feel like everyone needs to look out for and be on the lookout for, because I really do think he has a spot on the team. So thank you for everyone who reached out and said that they enjoyed that conversation. Now let's go ahead and jump to the news and the notes of the day, as I do on the daily. So up first, want to talk about some of the TV rights that the Raiders announced on Wednesday. And I don't think that this comes as a surprise, but KLAS TV 8 and the Raiders agreed and announced on Wednesday about an exclusive multi-year agreement naming Nexstar Broadcasting's local station in Las Vegas as a proud broadcast partner for its inaugural season in its new home. KLS TV 8 will continue to carry more Raider regular season football than any other station in the market as part of its CBS affiliation. They will serve as the team's traffic and weather partner, becoming the exclusive Las Vegas home of the Silver and Black Show, weekly highlight show, and carry the Raiders pregame show on Sunday mornings. They continue on to say, this summer, KLAS TV 8 will also air the Las Vegas Raiders season preview show, a look at the team and upcoming 2020 season. And they said today, and that was Wednesday, is Las Vegas Raiders fan day on KLAS TV 8. Continuing on with the statement that was released, they say, under the terms of the partnership, KLAS TV 8 has been named a proud broadcast partner of the Raiders. They will also serve as the team's traffic and weather partner, providing exclusive up-to-the-minute traffic and weather reports leading up to and including game days. Raider fans will know what to wear to the games, how to navigate traffic, driving to the game, the fastest routes to take, where to park, and the easiest way to enter the team's new state-of-the-art home. In addition, KLAS TV 8 will be the exclusive home of the Las Vegas Raiders pregame show, produced by the station and the Raiders, and airing every Sunday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time during the regular season. Also, the TV station will be the only place for fans to watch the Raiders weekly highlight show called the Silver and Black Show. President Mark Badain said the Raiders are excited to announce our partnership with KLAS TV 8 and look forward to continuing to bring great content to fans in Las Vegas. KLAS TV 8 will keep the Raider Nation connected by supplementing game action with the most up-to-date news and information on the Silver and Black. And just like I said the other day, much of the original programming airing on the station will be created in the Raiders' brand new Cox Studios located in Henderson at the team's Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. That state-of-the-art facility is going to be off the chain. So just something that, like I said, is not a surprise. Nexstar are very much embedded with the Raiders, and all they have to continue to do is keep that relationship going, and they'll be good to go for what looks to be years to come. And that's actually a really good segue into talking about the Raiders and the potential moving of training camp. Now, everyone expected, before all this COVID-19 started, everyone expected the training camp to be in Napa this year. But just because of everything that's going on and the way that, you know, Nevada is starting to open up again, it's starting to look like the Raiders may decide to go ahead and just move and put their training camp in Henderson at that facility and not have to worry about transporting stuff from Alameda to Napa to Henderson and do all that moving and shaking, especially in a time when a lot of moving and shaking is not really warranted or suggested. It may be something that the Raiders decide to do. Now, there's not saying that they are going to do that at that point. There's a really good article about it right now out on the Las Vegas Review Journal. Vincent Bonsignor, he put it out. Of course, he covers the Raiders like a glove. He's one of the many that cover the Raiders like a glove, and he put out a nice article on it that you might want to check out. Again, that's on the Las Vegas Review Journal. But the conversations probably are going on right now about if the Raiders should just go ahead and transition everything to Henderson and to that facility when they can get there and just have training camp there when training camp absolutely does open up. And to me, just on a personal note, feels like that makes the most sense. Why go all throughout all the moving and go through all the, you know, all the different transitioning from one spot to the next spot to another spot when everything is so up in the air? Just get in one location, bunker down, allow your players to be able to go to their house afterwards. And I know it's not the same as a training camp setting when you're with your teammates and your family's not around you and you just really are able to concentrate on football. But just in these days and times and with what's going on, and like I said, with the uncertainty, it probably is the best idea. So again, nothing set in stone, but it's just something that is out there. So just wanted to go ahead and pass that on to you as well. Just got a couple more quick notes that I want to get to, and this just has to do with the NFL in general. Today is Thursday, and so the owners are going to have a meeting and vote on a couple of rule proposals, and a couple that are now being changed or are absolutely 100% out. One that is out has been the Sky Judge proposal. It's been withdrawn ahead of today's owners meeting. That's according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. The NFL was considering two proposals that would have included a Sky Judge to assist on-field officials, but the NFL Competition Committee has decided to table those proposals at the time. Pelissero goes on to say the NFL is still expected to test some booth-to-official communication during the preseason. Now, when it comes to the 4th and 15, as opposed to the onside kick, this thing has been kind of changed and tweaked about three or four times already in the process. And really, the first time you heard about it was like last week, but it's been changed about three or four times. Teams actually received updated language on the proposed onside kick alternative. And Albert Breer says that it is clarified it can only be used in regulation, not in overtime. It's an untimed down. It's been noted already that you can only do it twice a game. And apparently, if you decide to change your mind and you have a timeout, you could call a timeout and be able to go back and decide that, you know what? No, we're not going to try that at all. And so it's a lot of things that are up in the air. And to me, it feels like a rule that's not going to go through because there's so many, you know, different asterisks here and, you know, stipulations here and let's change this. And I don't like the language of this. It feels like there's so much uncertainty that they really, really can't past that. But we'll see later on today. It's going to be voted on by the owners in a virtual meeting. So we'll see, like I said, how that shakes out. Final piece of news right here. It's just very, very small. This is according to NFLPA Executive Director Demoris Smith. He said the chances of the NFL season playing right now are at a 6 or a 7 out of 10. So a 6 or a 7 out of 10 is what NFLPA Executive Director Demoris Smith thinks of the chances of the NFL season. Me personally, if you're asking me, I think it's closer to an 8 or 9, but that's just me. I'm just going off my gut feeling. That's all I have to go on. He said that that's a realistic, optimistic number. There's still a lot of work to do, including how to handle players in high-risk categories for COVID-19. So, of course, there's a lot to go into it. I just don't think the NFL is going to let all that money go. Ultimately, at the end of the day, everything is all about the almighty dollar, and the NFL is about making that almighty dollar. So that's what I got for you today for the news and the notes, segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up is segment number two, my excitement as just a man on the outside looking in about the next chapter for the Raiders. That's coming up in segment number two. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about Built Bar, and I hope you know the website by now. I've been talking about it for a while, BuiltBar.com. I hope you know the promo code for, because I've been talking about that for a while, Locked On. BuiltBar.com, promo code Locked On. That's what you need to know as I tell you about these good-tasting bars. I actually had the coconut almond this morning. Really, really good. I enjoy, you know, going to work and being able to eat that and having a little something-something in my belly. And no joke, it's funny, man, when I was eating it at the job, one of my co-hosts on ESPN Central Texas, my guy Steven, he said, oh, man, are you starting to warm up to those a little bit more? And I said, man, this is a box that I bought. This is a box that I actually bought. This isn't one that they sent me and asked me to try. This is a box that I bought. So, yeah, not only am I warming up to them, but I'm really, really enjoying them, especially when you put them in the fridge. And he looked at me like, Q, you bought something? You know, what about your motto? If it ain't free, it ain't me. And I said, no, I still live by that. But I do like to put something in my belly. Do like to have something that I feel like is a good flavor. And again, it's a protein bar that doesn't taste like chalk. I think that's the best way to describe most protein bars. They just taste like blah. You know what I mean? Like you have to drink a big bottle of water or multiple bottles of water to get that just dry, nasty, gross taste out your mouth. This is not the case with these, and you don't have to do that. And I got three really, really good flavors, and I think I'm going to just rotate them every single day. Coconut almond was the one I had today. I think I'll go with the salted caramel chocolate tomorrow, and then, you know, maybe toffee almond the next day. I don't know, but those are the three flavors I got, but they have so many different flavors to choose from. All you got to do is go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On, get yourself a box of 18 like I did, mix it up if you want to, and get $10 off if you use that promo code. And I don't know why you wouldn't. If you're going to go there and you're going to buy them, you might as well get $10 off anyway, right? Let your boy save you some money. Funny story, I'm always good when it comes to coupons. I'll actually tell you the coupon story a lot later because that's a longer story. But anyway, believe me, I know about coupons. So promo code Locked On, that's your online coupon from your boy. That's how I get down. BuiltBar.com. Segment number two is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team
every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. One of these segments where I'm just going to kind of riff. I'm just going to kind of talk on what I'm seeing, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling as a Raider fan. Not really as a guy who, you know, hosts a podcast. Not really as a guy who works on ESPN Central Texas and tries to do everything as professional as possible and, you know, just kind of keep it as real as possible. But just as a fan in general of a team that I've seen go from Oakland, I've seen him go to L.A., I saw him return to Oakland, and those were glorious times, man. When the Raiders returned to Oakland, I remember my excitement level was at a 30. You know what I mean? It was just so high because all of a sudden, this team that I listen to on the radio all the time, this team that I see on TV all the time, this team that's rocking the silver and black, the Renegades, you know, the Raiders, the Pirates, whatever you want to call them, the badasses of the league, if you want to say, they're returning to Oakland. That was 95, man. I remember how jumping it was, man. It was just exciting. Everyone was showing up to the Coliseum, and it was just, I mean, it was going to go down. And look, the team still wasn't that great. You know what I mean? They really weren't. But, man, it was just a really good time to see the return of the silver and black. And then, of course, we all know how everything shook out. You know, they had some really good years. You know, had a year where you thought, okay, this team is about to go ahead and win the Super Bowl. And we all know how that shook out. It didn't shake out well for them as they lost to John Gruden in Tampa Bay. But that's a whole nother story. We know about the Tuck rule. I mean, we know about the bad times, but it is what it is. You know, it's part of the history of the Raiders. Then all of a sudden it comes to the time where, hey, man, this stadium has got to be upgraded. This stadium's got to be, something's got to give, and just nothing. No budge. There were so many rumors and reports and this stadium project. I don't know how many stadium projects I got fired up about thinking, okay, this is the one that's going to keep the Raiders in Oakland. And of course, that's what Al Davis wanted. He wanted to get that new stadium. Now, look, Al would have got the stadium anywhere, or he would have taken the stadium anywhere he could have got one, but he, you know, in his heart, I believe, wanted to stay in Oakland, just wasn't able to get it done. I believe in Mark Davis's heart, he wanted to stay in Oakland, just wasn't able to get it done. The powers that be weren't going to let it happen. And so, you know, the Raiders and their stadium was the laughing stock of, you know, of the league for the longest. And now, man, I'm telling you right now, just as a fan and as a dude, I'm so proud to look and see pictures. And sometimes I'll check out what Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review Journal, what he's tweeting out, and he'll tweet out a picture, and I see that thing of beauty sitting there in the desert, man, that black stadium. And I don't care what anyone, if you want to call it a Roomba or not, that's an intimidating ass Roomba, if that's what you want to call it. That thing just, it almost gives me chills looking at it. And then I saw pictures of it inside, and you know, we talked about the grass and how they were putting the real deal real grass on the track so that they can wheel it into or slide it into the stadium on game days, but it was actually going to be outside. Well, I saw the turf being laid down. Mick Akers had a picture of the turf being laid down for UNLV, as that's going to be, you know, obviously it's going to be their home as well, but that's the Raiders' home. But the turf, it just looks so nice on the inside. Just looks like, man, this is a real deal stadium. You know, I'm looking at those windows, I'm looking at the roof, I see the speakers hanging down. I mean, just everything looks great, you know. And I know people are going to say, well, this doesn't have this, or it has too much of this, or not enough of this, it's not close to, you know, the Oakland Coliseum. Look, it's not supposed to be close to the Oakland Coliseum. This is a 2020 state-of-the-art stadium, probably going to be the nicest thing in the NFL. Now, I know that they're building their stadium in LA, and I know the Chargers and the Rams have to share that. And most likely, I mean, not most likely, but it's really, in all, you know, realistically, it's the Rams stadium, and the Chargers are just tenants there. That's what it is. But, and I'm sure that's going to be nice. You know, I saw the big screen, how it just kind of wraps around the whole building, and that's awesome. You know, I've been to the Mercedes Dome in Atlanta, and that's fairly new. That's nice. You know, Miami Stadium that just held the Super Bowl, that was nice. That was a nice stadium. But, man, this stadium in Las Vegas is going to be it. It's going to be the business. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it is just awesome. It's slick. Those windows that are right there where it says Allegiant Stadium and the Al Davis Memorial torch is there, it just looks great. Now, I will say, and I know that the windows are black, and so that makes a lot more sense, because Jerry's World in Arlington has those big windows that you can see out when you're in the game. And I don't know how many players have complained about, you know, sun getting in their eyes, and you can see all the sun on the grass from those windows, because it just comes in. And they always say, how come they don't put up like some kind of curtains or something, or something, to some kind of shutters to cover it? Well, I think that's the genius of Allegiant Stadium, where The glass is black. It's tinted. You know, it's not the clear glass like they have in Jerry's World. I think they learned from the mistakes that were made. And I'm not calling Jerry's World a mistake, but there's some flaws there. And I just feel like this stadium, man, this is just so awesome. And I know a lot of fans can't afford to go right away because, well, a lot of people have been priced out. But this next chapter of Raiders football is so stinking exciting. Not only from, you know, the coach that last made the Raiders a really good team in John Gruden, Mike Mayock and his ability to draft, the way that the stadium is being built and this new home that they're going to have where they won't be a laughing stock, but just the value of the franchise, how much it's gone up just with the relocation. We talked already about the Henderson facility. I mean, that facility is going to be state of the art. I mean, there's just so many things to like about the direction of the team. Mark Davis doesn't get a lot of credit. He gets a lot of credit for a goofy haircut. We definitely, you know, give him jabs and talk bad about him by his haircut, but he's done so many smart and made so many smart decisions. We had a call on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line last week about what Mark Davis has done. And really, man, just as a fan, if you really take a step back, regardless where you live, if you live in the Bay, if you live in LA, if you live in Denver, you live in Sacramento, you live in Texas, wherever you live, it really doesn't matter, man. You just have to appreciate how this team is all of a sudden fast-tracked themselves from being, you know, a joke, a laughingstock, to being a real-deal franchise. Now, they also got to get it done on the field. I mean, you can't just look the part. You got to be the part, right? Well, that's the other exciting part about it. That's what makes me excited even to talk about the Raiders is the fact that, you know, this team has been down for quite a while. Only had 4 wins when Gruden came back. Only had 7 wins last year. But you feel like with the players that they're acquiring, either by way of free agency or the draft, that they are definitely trending in the right direction. Again, you can trend all you want. You can look the part all you want. You can sound the part all you want. You've got to go out there and be the part and make it happen. But if they are ever in a position to go ahead and make that happen, not saying that they're going to make a deep playoff run and they're going to be, you know, a worst to first team and they go to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to blow smoke up your backside because that's not my style. That's not how I get down. I like to keep it real all the time. But I'll tell you, man, if I have ever felt confident about this team going in the right direction, you know, There's reports of players out there working with Derek Carr and just trying to improve and get better. And regardless what you care, you think about Derek Carr, at least you see his leadership and him out there working. And look, that should not be a surprise. There's teams all across the league that have guys out there working in local parks, just trying to get on the same page with guys. But just knowing that guys are working. You know, my mom texted me when she saw an interview with Eric Harris on TV and said that he was talking about, you know, the team is improving and they're a lot better than they were last year and they feel like they're heading the right direction and how excited that got her. And just those kind of words to me just make me feel like this next chapter. You know what I mean? Books are conducted and books are put together with a bunch of different chapters. You have the beginning, you have the body, and then you have the conclusion. And the Raiders are nowhere close to the conclusion right now. But you feel like they're in that stage where they're in the chapters where, man, it's getting good, right? It's getting so juicy right now, you don't want to put it down. Have you ever picked up a book and read one of those where it don't matter what time of night it is, you know you got to prepare and get ready for work the next day, or maybe you got to go to school, but you still got the little nightlight on, and you're still reading it because, man, it's got you on the edge of your seat. Raider Nation, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat right now as I talk to you. I'm sitting here in my little office at the house, and I'm getting my legs are getting a little sweaty, my hands are getting a little sweaty, and it's not because I'm looking at some dirty booty on the computer. It's because I'm talking about the Raiders and the next chapter, what they have moving forward, what the opportunity that they have moving forward. Just think if they get off to a really good start this year. Just think if this team is able to get into the playoffs like I'm anticipating. And that starts the trend. It's about how you start. You start things off and you complete it and you finish it. Just think if they can get off to a really good start their first year in Vegas and make the playoffs. Then you're not getting ESPN reports that are saying 6 wins, 7 wins. Oh, John Gruden, 40% chance of getting coach of the year. Now you're looking up and saying this team is one of the better teams in the league. You know, when I was given that report and reading down what ESPN said, you know, they had the Dallas Cowboys listed as the 5th best team in the league. And I don't know how. I actually went on ESPN Central Texas the next day and I was like, you know what? Hold on, man. Hold on. How in the world is this team the 5th best team in the league? I don't even think they're the 5th best team in the NFC. You know what I mean? But that's just how they branded themselves and how they've taken that next step from being just a team to what they like to call America's team. Well, the Raiders are never going to be called America's team, even though they have a fan base that's just bananas and all over the world, but they still have that opportunity. They have the opportunity to grab the NFL by the throats. The same kind of excitement that Kansas City has and Kansas City fans have when they look at their quarterback and Patrick Mahomes and what they have right now, their whole excitement is based off their quarterback. I mean, that's 100% what their excitement is about. If they lose, and I'm not saying that, you know, I want this guy to go down to injury or I'm saying he's going to go down to injury, but just say he went down to injury, the excitement with all those playmakers and the good head coach that they have in Andy Reid is gone. Is absolutely gone. So all their excitement is based off of one player and the fact that they believe he's going to be around for years to come, which is what I believe as well. I do believe he's a generational dude and he's going to be an absolute stud for many years and he'll be a thorn in the side of the Raiders. But the Raiders, in my opinion, are building something special too. They really are. I think Mike Mayock has done a hell of a job. I think that the scouting department, the new scouting department, if you remember this time last offseason, if you were with us listening to the Locked On Raiders podcast, the Raiders were making a lot of changes after that first draft class that Mayock had. They made a lot of changes in the front office department. They brought guys in from Philly. They brought guys in from Dallas. They brought guys in from the Patriots. They brought smart, football-minded guys in to surround Mike Mayock, surround John Gruden, surround Rich Bisaccia, surround Paul Gunther, surround Greg Olsen, surround them with the best scouting department, the best football minds in the business. They really put together something special. Am I saying that they're going to hoist a Lombardi this year or even next year? No, but I'm going to say that this is something to be very, very proud of. A lot of people went out and bought those Las Vegas Raiders hats, those 2020 hats. I look at them and I don't even think that they're that good looking, but I understand why people would go buy it because it's something. It's a step in the right direction. You know what I mean? It feels like it's the beginning of something very, very special. So if you get one of those hats and you don't even wear it, you just put it somewhere on a shelf. I know my man Raider Al in Georgia, he has these special 2020, the first season of Las Vegas Raiders Coors Light beer cans. You know, and with the beer in it, if you never crack that beer, but you just hold on to that can, that's something special because that's a building block. You have a piece of history because I do believe, Raider Nation, that as many years as us fans have been down and out and upset and all the Sundays that we spent on our couch angry or Mondays or Thursdays, whatever day it is, and we've just been upset and not want to talk to anybody, I think times are changing. Are there going to be some bad times? Yeah, absolutely. Nobody is just great all the time. You've got to have some downs. But I think that the ups are really, really coming the way of the Raiders. Not only, like I said, just with the stadium, but with the opportunities on the field, with the opportunities as far as making a lot of money with business ventures and partnerships. I just think that the value of this franchise is going to go up in a major way. The Raiders will no longer be the laughingstock of the NFL for the majority of the league, or the people up in Bristol at ESPN, or people at NFL Network, or the Colin Cowherds, or, you know, insert whatever person likes to goof on the Raiders. They won't be that punching bag very long. Once this thing gets done in Vegas and things start to get rolling, Raider Nation, you'll have something to stand up real loud and proud about. Not that you wouldn't anyway, but it's something that's going to be special, and it's going to be special for a long time to come. So just wanted to take off my ESPN hat and take off my podcaster hat and just speak from the heart on the passion and the excitement that I have for what's to come, the future, the next chapter, I like to call it, of the Raiders. Coming up in segment number three, your calls. What are you passionate about? Your calls and your texts. That's coming up next, 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your time for your calls, your texts, your tweets. 707-654-4693. That's the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. You can either send a text message or you can leave a voicemail message. And of course, if you want to send me a tweet, you can at your boy Q254. Send me a message. It's all good. I'll definitely get that on as soon as possible. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and start things off with a tweet. Again, at your boy Q254. This is from my guy Andrew at AUTHEMENT96. He said, "Hey man, listen to the podcast today like normal. Wanted to comment on the schedule predictions. I saw you had the team losing to the Donkeys on the last game. Hopefully we win that game because it's my birthday that game. Anyway, Also wanted to tell you that you talked me into more Built Bars, LOL. Ordered another box today. Anyway, peace out, man. That's from Andrew. So, Andrew, definitely appreciate that that tweet. And, hey, man, I'm just like you. I ordered another box as well. Not another box on top of another box, but I did order a box of 18. So don't feel bad because I got caught up in them as well. Definitely appreciate hearing from you, though. Next up is a text from Chase from Ogden, Utah. And, oh, man, hold up. Gotta sound that new booty alarm. Chase from Ogden, Utah says, AQ, new booty. Love the podcast, man. Utah's always been a Broncos stronghold for fans, but it seems like the Raiders moving to Vegas, Utah's adopting them as well. Along with the TV partnership, companies like Intermountain Healthcare and America First Credit Union, both Utah-based companies, are official sponsors of the Raiders. The Raider Nation invasion of Broncos country in Utah is a beautiful thing to see. That's awesome. Thank you, Chase, for that. I like to hear that information. And you know what's funny, man? David Locke from the Locked On Raiders podcast, or not Locked On Raiders podcast, but Locked On Network, he's the guy who owns the whole stinking thing, David Locke, at Locked On Sports on Twitter. He put out, I think like 3 weeks ago, said Utah, because, you know, obviously he covers the Utah Jazz. He's a guy in Utah. He said, Utah, is this now your favorite football team, the Las Vegas Raiders? And I saw that and I was like, oh, okay. I see David Locke giving the Raiders a little bit of love. So I kind of thought that that was really, really cool. So thank you so much, Chase, for that text. Next up is a call from Jordan from Oregon calling about the interview he heard on the Silver and Black Today podcast that was done by Scott Goldbranson and myself from CBS Sports in Las Vegas. He also has a question he throws out for me. Here he is, Jordan from Oregon.
Hey, what's going on, Q? Jordan in Oregon. Just wanted to give you a shout-out, man. Heard you again on the Silver and Black Today. Caught that little Wednesday edition of Javon White. Man, again, you guys knocked it out of the park. I love the interview you did with him. Kind of just backed up what I had already thought about the dude. He's just an alpha dog, and kind of seems like to me his confidence is through the roof. And for a kid, you know, call him a kid, but young man that young to just be speaking the way he is, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up not only cracking the roster but get some playing time. And it was kind of cool to hear him chime in. I liked your question on if he'd been working out with, any of the Raiders getting ready for the season. And it sounds like some 7-on-7 things are going to be happening. And shout out to you, Q. If this call gets played, if anyone hasn't, listened, Q's been knocking out of the park on, Silver and Black Today with Scott Goldbranson. Been a great last couple podcasts that you've been a host on, and I've been loving it, man. Quick question for you: is there any news on that? Are you going to be like a kind of a host on that going forward, or is this just are they just feeling you out before they go ahead and sign you, man? Anyway, hey, and I also, if anybody has the time, check it out. Derek Carr has a YouTube channel, I believe it's his own, but it shows him working out with some of the guys, and it got me pretty fired up just seeing them out there in the desert, man. They're look to me like they're putting in the work, and DC, I know, always looks good this time of year just when you're watching them on YouTube, or just, you know, it's only spring right now, so it's hard to judge everything off of that, but I think he looks great, man. And the guys look like Waller out there. I think I saw Alex Ingold. Pretty darn sure I saw, I'm not sure if that was Henry Ruggs out there or not, but he's got some guys out there, some Raider Nation, and they're putting in the work. And so if anybody wants to get a little hyped up, he's got a video out right now. And so anyway, peace out, Raider Nation. Peace out, Q. Hope you're doing well, man. Keep up the good work on your pod and as well on Silver and Black Today. Kicking butt, man. Take care.
Jordan, thank you so much for those compliments, man. I do appreciate you. And, I don't think I can ever get enough talking to Javon White, man. He's a dude. I got a really, really good feeling about him. He's got to earn it on the field, no doubt about it. But he's got a real deal opportunity, if you ask me. Again, I appreciate the compliments on the show. And as far as, you know, being on there more and all the time, I really don't know. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be on there more moving forward or what's next. All I know is that anytime I get a chance, similar to what I said in segment number one, to be on the radio and in Vegas or on a podcast or talking Raiders, I'm going to do it. You know, I really am. So I really enjoy the opportunity to be on the radio there in Vegas. The one thing I'll say, is the audio's got to be crystal clear, man. It's got to be better. It's got to sound exactly like it sounds here on this podcast. I mean, I know that some people and a lot of people are saying, oh, you sounded good. Don't worry about it. Look, I know what it should sound like. I don't want to be the weakest link as far as quality goes. There's a rule in radio that my guy, Victor Zaragoza, who's the guy who put me up on game, he taught me years ago. You're only as good as your producer. If your producer or a guy who's running the board, or in this case, the quality of the audio, that's got to be on point. That's got to be on point at all times. I mean, that's just it. You can sound like you know what you're talking about. You can absolutely know what you're talking about. But if the quality is not there, it's just not going to be, it's not going to come through the way it should come through. So thank you so much for the compliments and support. Definitely want to continue to do what I'm doing, but I got to make sure that that quality, that audio quality is there 100%. I did a lot of work and the wife did a lot of work here at the house to make sure that I had the quality equipment so I could do a show and still sound like I'm in the radio station studio. So that's what I have to stick to. I have that kind of standard I've got to have. So if I'm not able to do that moving forward, then there's going to be a problem. So anyway, we'll see what happens, but you know, that's just where I stand. So anyway, definitely thank you for that. I appreciate you. Next up is a text from Matt from the 916 talking about Sacramento. He said, hey Q, it's Matt again from the 916. Thanks for the shout out. I have a question about guard John Simpson. On Wednesday's pod, you said that you think Simpson will have a role in 2020 at some point. My question is, who do you think in your opinion he steals playing time from? Richie Incognito, who's aging, or Gabe Jackson, who's been in potential trade talks previously? I'm excited to see what he could do on the field. Have a good one, my man. Again, Matt from the 916 representing Sacramento one time, and I'm glad you asked me that question, man, because that's a guy I'm very fired up about, John Simpson. I don't think he's getting talked about quite enough. I know he was doing some radio interviews, I believe, on Wednesday afternoon, and he was talking about the fact that he was in Vegas with Derek Carr and crew, and he's just getting used to Derek Carr's cadence, just kind of getting used to his voice inflection. I mean, you talk about a guy who is on top of his A game. This is a fourth-round draft pick, and he's already in Vegas working out with these guys as they're working in the park trying to get on the same page. He's just trying to get down Derek Carr's voice inflections. He's trying to get down his cadences so he knows, you know, when not to move, when to move, you know, when to flinch, when he's going hard count. I mean, he's doing the homework already. And yeah, I think that when it comes to who's playing time he'll steal, I think it's going to be Gabe Jackson. And I'm not saying that, and I'm not trying to be a hater, because Gabe Jackson's been really good for the Raiders for a long, long time. But I just don't know how long he has left. I mean, I really don't. And I don't mean in the league. I just mean with the Raiders. His name was out there in the potential trade talks for quite a while. It didn't happen. So maybe, you know, all is dead and he's going to be there with the Raiders moving forward. Maybe. I could be 100% wrong. But my gut feeling, which is all I ever roll with, tells me that John Simpson will be playing that right guard position sooner than you think this NFL year. Is it going to be right away? Maybe not. But by the trade deadline, there may be a team that looks like that they're, you know, one right guard away from being a serious real deal contender, and they might move him. They really could. I would not be surprised. Not saying it's going to happen right away. Not saying he's not going to play for the Raiders ever again. I don't know. I've just had this feeling since last offseason that Gabe Jackson wasn't going to be long for the team. I could be completely off, and if I am, then I'll let you know that. But that's just my gut feeling. Thank you so much for that text. I definitely appreciate you. Next up is a call, and before I get into that, you know what I got to do, right? Got a call from Mansa. He's calling to comment on the Built Bar and how he has changed his views on them. And then he also wants to talk about Derek Carr and him holding camp right now, something that we've talked about quite a bit here on the Locked On Raider podcast. So here's a new booty call from my guy, Mansa, 707-654-4693. Here he is.
Hey, what's up, Q? It's your boy, Mansa. That was me that messaged you on Twitter the other day about the Built Bar. I gotta say, man, I changed my mind. I think I just had a bad box. I'm not really feeling that chocolate. I mean, not the chocolate, but the almond coconut. That ain't for me. But the banana nut bread and the peanut butter brownie, those are a hit. And I also got the Memorial Day special box. It was a peach cobbler, believe it or not, peach cobbler. It was pretty good. I don't really like the chocolate that's around it, but regardless of the fact, it was actually decent. Once you put them in the refrigerator, you can't leave them out of the refrigerator. Anyway, I'm a new booty, Paul. I just wanted to say I watched the video a few days ago of DC holding his own quote unquote mini camp. And I say I'm impressed, man. Them boys out there working by themselves. I mean, I know they grown men, they professional athletes, but you gotta commend them for going out there and wanting to get the job done without anybody holding their feet to the fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got, I really do commend them for doing it. DC really seemed like he want to quiet the people that's saying he need to leave. I'm not a DC fan. I'm not a person that's saying DC need to leave. I just want, you know what I'm saying, what's best for the Raiders. I mean, that's all I want to say, man. Shout out to the Built Bar. Shout out to DC. Shout out to Raiders Nation. Yesterday, my baby boy was born, May 26th. So shout out to him, Breeze Carter. Go Raider Nation.
There it is right there. That's a call from Mansa. And thank you so much for calling in. I'm glad to know the information about the Built Bar. And I appreciate how you said that, hey, you know, you change your feelings on them. Because, again, like I mentioned, that you were the one person that hit me up. And I didn't put your name out there, but I said somebody hit me up on Twitter and said that they weren't feeling them. And I was 100% honest about that. And I think that's how conversations should go. Be 100% honest. Yeah, I'm supposed to. My job is to tell you about the Built Bar and hope that you go buy it, because that's my job. But at the same time, if I get positive feedback, I'm going to pass it along. But if I get negative feedback, I probably should do that too, just because. You know, someone's going to say, oh man, Q's going to say anything is great. I'm not going to do that. And for this, I felt like this was really good. And I'm glad that, you know, you're feeling it, and you're feeling it the way that, you know, that I mentioned it as well. Put it in the fridge, and you got some flavors that you're feeling. So, man, I thank you for that. I really do appreciate that. I think that was done in a very respectful way. And like I said, I appreciate you. Now, as far as Derek Carr holding camp, yeah, it's a great thing. I mentioned it a few weeks ago, mentioned it earlier on the show today. There's a lot of teams that are doing that in the league, a lot of players in the league that are doing it. They just aren't getting mentioned, just like Derek Carr wasn't getting mentioned up until, I think it just hit the headlines officially, like maybe yesterday or so. But, yeah, I mean, Brady, he does it, and all of a sudden, he's the best teammate. Oh, what a leader. He's the greatest. Breeze does it, same thing. Rodgers, same thing. Big Ben, same thing. But, you know, guys like Derek Carr, they're not going to get that respect. Mitchell Trubisky might be out there getting that and doing the same thing. They wouldn't give him any props on doing that. You know what I mean? It's just like certain dudes are going to get the love, other dudes. Like Teddy Bridgewater, he might be out there for the Panthers putting in work right now, and they wouldn't say nothing about it. But certain guys get that love. But, yeah, it is good to see Derek Carr out there doing his thing. And it was really good to hear when I heard the little clip of John Simpson on his interview that he was doing with SiriusXM talking about the fact that he was out there as well, not just, you know, throwing and catching. I mean, he's out there listening to Derek Carr's voice, trying to just, you know, better himself and get put up on game a little bit more. So I thought that was really, really cool. So I don't know if I have time for one more. You know what? Let's go ahead and rock one more. I got another text, but I'll save that for Friday's show. This call comes from Sean in Salt Lake City. And yeah, I should play this today because he's coming in hot with his opinions on ESPN and some of the personalities on ESPN. And really, this all has to do and comes from the win expectation and playoff percentage chances that I talked about on Wednesday's show. So here he is coming in hot, Sean in Salt Lake City.
Q, Raider Nation, Sean from Salt Lake City. Just got done listening to Wednesday's podcast, talking about the ESPN projections and all that fun stuff. ESPN, man, no offense. I know you work for them, and that's your employer, and everyone's giving you a break and all that good stuff, you know. But, man, I don't have any respect for ESPN. I think it's the biggest sports newscast out there, obviously minus yours, of course, Clay Q. Anyways, I don't have any respect for me. Booger McFarland was on Men in Football for how long? And that dude, like, I know you respect everyone's grind, and he's obviously better than I am. He played in the league. But man, that dude says some dumb shit. I mean, it's just like he's not intelligent when it comes to broadcasting. I mean, Jason Witten out of nowhere had hair and worked for him. I mean, they're just so fake. I've never been impressed with ESPN. I've never really thought they've done a good job. Only thing they've ever done good in the past 5 years is The Last Dance. Like, that's my opinion. So when they say 6-7 wins, whatever, I don't care. ESPN sucks. I'm not a fan of them. They've never been big on the Raiders to begin with. Even though John Gruden worked for them, and they still just talk on the Raiders the whole time. I'm sorry to come in all fiery and upset and stuff. I don't want to be a downer, but I just think it's comical. I think ESPN's a joke. They don't do a very good job. I mean, you have freaking Mike and his son in the basement just talking about dogs the whole time in the morning. I mean, I watch the show and stuff, but I mean, I don't know. It's just whatever. But that just kind of brings me to like what I've always thought. I don't sit there and pick and choose what games are going to win. I just expect they've got to win 9 or 10 games. Like nine, to me, 10 is what needs to happen. I don't care how it happens. I don't care who they beat. I don't care if we get, pardon my word, in Kansas City again. As long as we win 10 games, that's an improvement. That's what we need. Granted, I do want to win really bad in Kansas City. But as long as we win 10 games or more, that's where we need to be. That's my opinion. That's my projection. I'm not going to tell you who we win and who we beat. We just got to make it happen. All right, I'm out.
Sean, thank you for your call, my man. Definitely appreciate you. Appreciate your views. And look, as far as the wins go, yeah, I'm with you. You know, 10 wins is what would feel good about the playoffs. If 10 wins, I feel like they have a really, really good chance of making the playoffs. 9, I would say, well, it was a good season, but they just fell a little short. I put their floor at 9 and their ceiling at 11 as far as wins go. Now, on the other conversation, which you're talking about ESPN and you coming in pretty fired up about, I'm just part of a franchise. I work at ESPN Central Texas. I don't work in Bristol. Connecticut don't pay me. I'm just part of a franchise. So you can have your opinion. And even if they did, you could still have your opinion on ESPN. What I will say is that being a part of ESPN Central Texas associates me with the biggest letters in sports. And that's straight up. They are the biggest letters in sports. ESPN carries more weight just from those four letters than Fox Sports, than FS1, than whatever your network that you want to put out there. There is no network out there that's going to carry as much weight as those letters ESPN. You don't know how much I've, you know, benefited. And this is just from my point of view. So much I've benefited just from having those letters on my chest, ESPN. Do I agree with all their programming and all their takes and what they put out there? No, not at all. I think that there's a lot to be desired for ESPN. But what I will say is part of the reason I do what I do today is from what I used to see from ESPN back in the day, something I grew up on, something that was the only sports network out there, seeing highlights, seeing Stuart Scott. Booyah! You know, that was my guy. That was my favorite guy. He actually gave me the belief that someone who looks like me and sounds like me can go out and do what I'm doing now and others are out doing. And I don't mean to get all racial on you, but there's just not, you know, there wasn't a lot of people that resembled me that were doing what you know, we as African Americans are doing these days. And so he gave me inspiration. But watching SportsCenter and having it on my TV all night long and just highlight after highlight, Chris Berman, I know he got on people's nerves towards the end of his career, but Chris Berman was another guy that I grew up on, man. He was just one of the great, you know. Dan Patrick, who's now, you know, on Fox Sports, he was on ESPN, one of the greats. I mean, there's no NFL network without ESPN. So, again, I understand. I totally understand where you're coming from and what's been going on with it. And when they started getting all political and stuff, that went way too far. But for what they were and what they represent and what they mean to the sports world, I'm still gonna rock with the letters ESPN. And, you know, I love the fact that I'm doing this, having this opportunity that I've been having on CBS Sports in Las Vegas. But my goal, I'm not going to lie to you, is to be working on ESPN Las Vegas. Again, those letters just mean something a little bit more than I could probably even explain. So thank you so much for that call. And like I said, I totally understand where you're coming from, but that's just where I'm coming from. So I'm not really disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that it's deeper than just, you know, what they've been putting out. And, you know, I think that they've done a lot better than just the Last Dance. I think that was really good, but they've done some stuff that's been pretty positive as well. So that's all I got for you today. Definitely appreciate you. Like I said, got a couple text messages that we'll get to on Friday. We'll have some more calls that we'll get to straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. News and notes of the day. How are the owners going to vote on different proposals? We'll talk about that and a lot more. That'll come up on Friday's show, and we'll end the week pretty strong. That's how we get down. So until then, Raider Nation, tell your smart device to go check out the latest episode of Locked On NFL Draft. And as always, just win, baby.